In connection with our brother Sam's exhortation, comfort, let us turn to Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river that streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Good morning, brothers and sisters and friends of God's truth. God has certainly blessed us with a beautiful day to give praise and honor to his name. This morning, my talk is going to be on comfort. And is that okay? I have a tendency to scream in this thing. I'd like to talk about the definition of what comfort is. What can possibly or maybe should be causing us some uncomfort? Some predictions maybe in the times and seasons that we look around. We're going to take a look at, take some advice from Moses and Jesus, see what they have to talk about in referencing to comfort, and lastly, how we are reminded of God's ultimate care. So there's the outline for my talk. Webster's dictionary definition is of comfort is to give strength and hope. To cheer or to ease grief or trouble or to console. So if you put all that together, it's the encouragement with alleviation from grief. That's comfort. That's what we have to think in the back of our minds when we say comfort. It's that encouragement with alleviation from grief. And that the Greek word for comfort is very closely tied with exhortation, or to exhort. Now, I'm not going to butcher the Greek names, but if you want to take note of what those numbers are, you could look them up, and they're about three or four numbers away from the Strong's. And the warning about the times of the end, where our day is likened to the times of Noah, where truly it might reflect a godless society. A lack of fear, a lack of reverence towards God, or even a recognition that God exists. Well, how do we see that, and how do we really get uncomfortable? Well, some distressing news in the headlines can remind us of that on a weekly basis. For example, a mother cannot be held responsible for the death of her child because no one saw her do it. Our justice system certainly has failed the system. teenagers can be convicted of maliciously luring a friend over their house, beat them to death, dismember their body, and burn it. I mean, there is absolute no value of life. Those are some current headlines today. Daily, we're reminded of man's destructive and greed-filled nature through, ultimately, corruption. Corruption. It's in our nature. What's really worrying is we rely on that same system to protect us, to protect our families, to protect our children, and make sure that the fundamental basics like our food supply, our water supply, isn't tainted. But recent developments might just prove otherwise. There's a recent study that the amount of arsenic chemicals that we give in apple juice to our children from other countries are completely off the charts. Hormone-pumped, corn-fed fish farms operating in other countries land in our supermarkets today. And unfortunately, for a profit. I mean, this should make us very uncomfortable because in our heart, we know it's simply not right. It's not the right thing to do. It's certainly not the way in which we're supposed to treat God's creation to sustain our being. But we believe in a creator, and we ultimately put our trust in him. Three verses. Turn to Nahum 1:7. Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. Turn over to Psalms 46. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And finally, John 14:1. Because these certain events, the things that we see around us, can really give a heavy-laden heart or weight on us, where we have to take that comfort in the Scriptures, knowing that in John, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Believe also in me. Because these elements can cause us to worry. They can cause us to be uncomfortable. How could our environment around us ultimately draw us away from God's truth? I mean, how do you add that up? How can we lose the very gift which is bestowed to us? Well, if you think about it, it's a constant bombardment of paths contrary to what the Bible says. We have a path, a plan, and purpose, but yet we're constantly bombarded with maybe a better way of doing things. We can become upset or have a feeling of unsettlement. You know, we're given facts in God's plan and purpose as to what he has in store for this earth, but we can be led away by fiction. Imagine that. A lie. A deception. When you want to chop down a tree, if you've ever done it the manual way, the way to build muscles, do you do it in one swing? No. It takes 20, 30 shots at the trunk. So eventually, a continual process of being hit time and time again, the weight from the tree eventually collapses due to the lack of support or structure or foundation that we would have. It's not just one swing. It's a constant beating up. There's a saying that people might say, it's don't sweat the small stuff, you know. You should have a better, thicker skin, like water off a duck's back. Well, I disagree. I believe those small things add up to big things. Because when you're trying to dissect a large problem, usually it's a culmination of all the things, all the small things that went wrong along the process. So, brothers and sisters, my advice is to sweat the small stuff. Like it or not, human creatures are full of emotions. Is it not our challenge in our walk to control these emotions? And we can certainly become depressed or anxious or stressed out, paranoid, start relying on advice from other people that aren't necessarily on our path, but are on the path of death. instead of the path of life. Turn over to Proverbs 12:13, just as a warning. Half of an exhortation should be to warn, to take heed, as well as encourage and uplift. Proverbs 12:13, the wicked is a snare by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Psalms 119:36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Hate every false way. It's a pretty big contrast between what we're comfortable with and what we should be uncomfortable with. If those things that make us uncomfortable start feeling good, that doesn't bother me. That's when we have a problem. We should hate every false way. Very strong words there. Turn over a couple chapters to 34, Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Let's switch gears a little bit and take an example from Moses. We're not going to read for context the entire chapter, although it is pretty moving, but I want to focus on one verse and see the advice that he gives to the children of Israel. Turn over to Exodus 14, verse 13. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Now this verse is taken at the climax of the chapter, when the children of Israel literally had their backs against the Red Sea, and they were staring at the army of the world's largest superpower, Egypt, with their chariots ready to destroy them and enslave them. And under the cloak of darkness and a whirlwind of fire which stalled the Egyptian army, God provided a way by parting the Red Sea, in which the children of Israel crossed on dry ground to safety. In the chapter we read this morning for our reading, there was an instruction to stop. Stop. Do we give time to stop and see the salvation of the Lord? Whereas our boat might rock and we might really get nervous, uncomfortable, become worrisome, anxious, we're instructed to stop. Stop. What does Moses say? Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I want to put a little different spin on this, but do we consider God's wonderful creation? Just stop for a minute. And what does Jesus say about worrying and how God cares for us? It was interesting during, if you follow the daily readings, we'll flip over to Luke 12. I want to read a section of verses that kind of fit in this thinking as to the advice that Jesus also gives us about being worrisome. Never discredit the amount of trust that we have in the Lord. It's in Luke 12, starting at verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all things do the nations of the world seek after. Interesting. That's what they seek after. For your Father knoweth what ye have need of these things. But seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the primary example here is that we always need to rely on that trust factor in God. If God takes care of the animals and vegetation, how much more does he care for you? It's a great lesson on God's creation. Think about how his creation functions daily. The animals, for example. They don't have a job. They don't have a house. They're not worrying if their 401k went down this year or who's in or out of the 2012 presidential race. And you strip away all those kind of time-consuming, worrisome things in our life that distract us. And notice how these animals exist in their circle of life. What do they value? Who do they protect? Do they train their young on how to hunt, on how to search for food, to preserve life in preparation for their daily tasks? We talked a little bit about that this morning, the preparation we should have. When we're called to the judgment seat, it's too late. Do we really want to have regret? Oh man, I really wish I could have squandered that little thing that I had with this particular brother. It's too late. It's too late for that. These animals are constantly working to stay on guard for protection of their family. And then take that to the next level. We should, and also, be on guard for the protection of others, of our extended family, our brothers and sisters, our ecclesia. Turn over to Psalms 34, verse 19. Any are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of all. Turn over to Isaiah 49:13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. And lastly, Psalms 143, verse 8. 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. The important point that we should definitely focus on is when we're lost, when we're confused, when we're anxious, when things aren't going our way, we have to stop. Fear not, stop and see the salvation of the Lord. It's really interesting. Humans are creatures of emotion, of habit. They need a plan or to be organized in order for order to happen or to take into effect. That's what kind of calms our nerves. You can really sense your emotions kind of getting out of control when you feel you're not in control, right? And you kind of need to be brought back into your place to say, okay, here are my tasks for today. I need to accomplish these and I'm going to get them done. But when we feel the weight or our hearts heavy, that's when we might seek advice, seek other ways that are contrary to that path of life. All good gifts come from God's bountiful hand. And what a wonderful opportunity we have today to seek His ways. We must trust in the Lord and in His plan for this world and be reminded of that. We're reminded of that on a daily basis by today's current events, like what Brother Lucas brought up today. God's chosen people are constantly in the news. Just this week, Mahmoud Abbas is petitioning the UN to create a Palestinian state. peace, talks have ceased. And that's what really gets believers excited. Because there is no movement to kind of calm the two battling peoples, which was been predicted throughout time, down. Peace talks have stopped, and usually action then ensues, whether one the sides subside or possible war. The president of Iran was fortifying his belief this week that the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were slaughtered, didn't even happen. Along with 9/11, where the U.S. Conspiracy theories that it was a complete lie or inside job. You know, hatred of the Jews and support of Israel still exists today. And we are reminded of how no support of Israel, not necessarily being against them, but no support of Israel is just as good as not being supportive, as being against them. True comfort in the Middle East and the world will only come from Jesus when he returns to establish that kingdom. Some advice from the Lord, Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of the of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Turn over to Romans 15. Verse 4 and 5. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus." So to wrap up my exhortation this morning, we discussed the idea of comfort being encouraged with the alleviation from grief, and touched a little bit on what can possibly make us or should make us uncomfortable. We take refuge in the Lord, building a sound foundation on truth, which will help shield us from the world. In time of trouble, we must not fear, but stand still and see His beautiful salvation. God's creation reminds us daily of His care for us, and knowing Him, truly knowing Him, will bring us true comfort in our lives. I'd like to close with Psalm 9. It's 9 and 10, which should be kind of ringing in the back of our head. "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Thank you.
let's continue with the singing of hymn 152. According to thy gracious word before thine agony, this will we do, our absent Lord. We will remember thee. Hymn 152. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. In 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 17, and reading through verse 22, we read, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the ecclesia, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the ecclesia of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Here, Paul admonishes the Corinthians for their conduct when they're taking of the memorials. And then in verse 27, instructs them of the seriousness of what they're doing. Verse 27 reads, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." And in verse 28 and in 29 instructs them of self-examination and the consequences of not properly discerning the emblem set before them, where we read, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The word "unworthily" in 27 and 29 in the King James could be better translated "without thought" rather than "unworthily." There are those in the early ecclesia, that were coming to take of the memorial to eat and drink, but gave no thought to what these emblems represented. And though we would never consider conducting ourselves in a manner as we just read in the previous verses, we can lack the proper attention to the importance of these memorials and not showing acceptable reverence through attentive thought focused on them be just as guilty as they were. The translation in the King James would lead you to believe that we should examine ourselves as to our conduct. But this is far from being correct. The memorial table is no place to be focusing on ourselves, but on our Savior and the sacrifice these emblems represent. Brothers and sisters, the purpose of the memorial remarks is to help us get our minds properly set on these emblems. So let us put aside any other thoughts as we look at a few verses that might help us focus on the antitypical significance of these memorials and take of them with proper discernment. We'll turn first to 1 Peter 1. Starting in verse 2, we read, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And over in 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 21, we read, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And in Romans 5:1, we read, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And moving down to verse 8, God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And in verse 14 we read, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And again in Romans 6, in verse 3, we read, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of our Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. As we come before this table to take of these emblems, we see our Lord Jesus Christ as the sacrificial lamb whose life was given and whose blood was shed in obedience to the Father. And through that obedience unto death, he gave us a chance for life everlasting in God's kingdom when it's established here in the earth, which we surely look for the soon coming of, and secured for himself the same. And as we focus on these emblems and what they represent in his death and resurrection, we'll turn again to 1 Corinthians 11, where we have the record from Paul, where he said, starting in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I'd like to ask Brother Sid to offer thanks for the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." I'd like to ask Brother Luke to offer.
Almighty Father in heaven, we come before thy throne of grace in remembrance of thy Son and in his sacrifice as seen in this symbol of the wine. And as he truly poured out his life, both in living and in death, to thee, we pray that we would follow in his footsteps and dedicate our lives to thee in obedience to thy commandments to the greatest extent that we can. We pray that his return from thy right hand to establish thy kingdom would be soon, that with thy grace and mercy, may we all be found acceptable to serve him in that kingdom forevermore. We pray and ask for these things through his name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Let's close with the singing of hymn 142, after which I'd like to ask Brother Aaron to offer closing prayer. When shall the voice of singing flow joyfully along, when hill and valley ringing with our triumphant song proclaim the contest ended, and him who once was slain again to earth descended in righteousness to reign. Hymn 142.
Again to earth descended. Almighty and eternal Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, it is with thanksgiving and praise that we approach before Thee at this time to thank Thee for the opportunity to come together as one, to think on those things concerning Thy plan and purpose with this earth and with man upon it, that we might ever be encouraged and edified in our commitment to Thee and to Thy Son. We thank Thee for the opportunity to educate our children in those things pertaining to Thy plan and purpose. We appreciate the opportunity to be spiritually rejuvenated in words of exhortation about Thy loving care, compassion, and comfort. And especially we thank Thee for the opportunity to remember Thy Son and the provision that was made that man might once again be brought into reconciliation to Thee. We earnestly look forward to that time when He shall appear on this earth and take those actions of which are recorded, that we might find ourselves in participation with Him and the execution of Thy plans in this earth. Help us at all times and encourage us to that end. Support us and at last forgive us of our many sins and shortcomings. All of this we pray and ask in and through Thy Son's name, our High Priest and King to come, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Again, brothers and sisters, class is tonight at 6 o'clock. Thank you.